need to get myself organized with the music, and then we'll be ready to go. Praise the Lord. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary.
Thank you.
want to thank the men of Clumsy for helping me out with the choir, and thank you, Uncle David. For those of you who don't know, your director of music is my aunt. She married David, and he's now my uncle, and so thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, as I said before, when you start any journey, you have a beginning point and you have an ending point. And the beginning point that we have is when we trust Jesus as our Savior and we come to faith. It can start at a young age. It's good to start at a young age. Myself, I grew up in church, but I didn't really get saved. I mean, I asked the Lord in my heart when I was young, but it didn't stick until, and I came to the Lord in a kind of a dramatic fashion. I saw a movie. Thank God for movies, amen? And thank God that we, it doesn't matter what form that we come to Christ, as long as we come to Him, amen? And that there was a movie, it was, for those of you who remember, there's The Thief in the Night, which came out in the 60s and 70s, scared me to death. I saw it when I was 6 or 7 years old, and just scared me, and I wanted to get saved and all that. Well, the second movie came out, A Distant Thunder, and I was watching it when I was 12 years old. We were at Calvary Temple, and the second movie, it plays off the first movie, and in the second movie, she realized that it was just a dream, so she kind of put off following the Lord and making her life right and all that, and then she was left behind, and all the stuff that she had seen in the movie started happening to her, and then she realized that there really was a truth that she had missed, and it came to the point where she had to either take the mark of the beast or get her head cut off, and she's laying down on the thing, and she's saying, Lord, I'm coming to you because I'm not going to take the mark of the beast, and you see the blade, and it started to come. Well, before that blade hit the floor, I was at the altar. I said, Jesus, come into my heart, save me. And but I came to him out of fear, which is not necessarily the best way. The best way is to know that God has a plan for you, that God loves you, and that he cares about you, and that just as we sang in that first hymn, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. And the joy, the ultimate joy we share as we tarry there, none other can compare. That's really what it's all about, is walking in the joy of the Lord, walking in his plan for your life, because he loves you. The most important thing to know is that God has a plan for you. There is a God, there is a devil, there's a heaven, there's a hell. But none of us have to go to that hell. God made a way through his Son, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that today? Amen. Let me get to my, I started pulling, I had a notebook I was gonna bring up here, and then I thought, I don't want the stand to fall, so I thought I would pull the things, and the main piece of paper that I needed, I don't have. So, praise the Lord. We'll just go from memory, I think. Unless I brought it up here. Maybe I brought it, up here. Hopefully. Well, bless the Lord. Okay. Anyway. I know where it was. Okay. We'll go to the scripture. Everyone's got their Bible, amen? We're going to go to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. And I'm going to be reading out of the NIV version. And this is at the end of the age. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Let's stand together as we hear the word of God this morning. Praise the Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, I thank you right now that you are here. We praised you this morning. We've worshiped you. And I just thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. May the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. And may I say and speak as your oracle. And Lord, may what you want to get across in this service come forth. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, that's how you heard about my journey, how I started with the Lord. And I have always tried to figure out what if, you know, whenever you prepare for something, people are always going to say something. You have, when you were first born, they look at you and you're such a cute little baby. And they go, "Oh, isn't that a cute little baby?" You know, so there's people are talking about you. You go to school and you get report cards, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. It's funny. My sister and I, my sister is 3 years older than me. We had the same kindergarten teacher. And when my kindergarten teacher had my sister, she sent home a little note and said, "We need to do something about your daughter, because if we don't do something about your daughter, she's not going to succeed, because she is just so quiet and so, you know, she's just too shy, so we need to break her out of the shell." I came along 3 years later, she sent home another note, and she said, "We need to do something about your son, because he's so loud and so not obnoxious, but so out there, that if we don't, you know, he's going to have a terrible road ahead of him." And so it's interesting how your personality bends, you know, what people say about you, you know. Then you grow up, you graduate, hopefully you have done well in school. You go to college graduation, people say something about you, hopefully you won some awards. Maybe you get married, and when you get married, how many people here have had your best man or bridesmaid of honor get up and then they'll say a speech, and hopefully you get a laugh or two, and it's a good one, and then they end with a really nice note, you know, and make y'all feel warm and fuzzy, but people are saying something about you. Then we go along and we get into jobs, and we have job evaluations. We have good ones, we have bad ones. Some of them I've had both. People are always saying things. And then of course, as we go through life, and we come to the very end of the road, you usually, for those who pass, they have a eulogy and they say good things about your life, and or hopefully. And I wrote down what I wanted in my life and what I wanted the people to remember. I wanted to convey in my life. I wrote down that God loves you and me so much that he sent his son, Jesus, into this world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world, and that whosoever that would believe in him, who he is, what he did for us, and would call on his name, that they would not perish, but they would have everlasting life, and they would be saved from themselves, which is the sinful nature, that rules our hearts because of Adam's race, that we will be saved from that, from sin, death, destruction, eternal damnation, and ultimately hell. And then I thought, what do I want as my life begins? I want to learn and convey everything that I can about God, eternal life, heaven, hell, personal conduct, attributes of being a Christian, fighting the devil, overcoming sin, overcoming sickness, overcoming disease, overcoming death, overcoming poverty, and the riches of getting to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wanted to learn music to praise Him, to create music to praise Him, and to convey the truths that were talked about, that I just said, all with excellence. And then on a personal note, I like to teach. I'm a piano teacher, and so I have 4 students, and I want to get that going more so that it's on the internet. I'm working on that, and I like to, if there's something that I can do to help bring a memory or help in the preservation of memories, or to, as you look to scrapbook and all that. Now, I don't like to scrapbook because I'm not very artsy. I love to help with somebody who knows what they're doing, but you would probably wouldn't want a scrapbook from me because, number one, when I was a kid, not to digress, but when I was a kid, my art teacher, I had her from kindergarten to 6th grade, and in my 5th grade year, one of my favorite things to do was get glue, and I would play with it and get it all over my hands and just pick the glue off. And my art teacher, after 5 years of teaching me, said, you know what? She said, you're the kind of student that makes retirement look really wonderful. And so, that's about how I am with crafts. But I did not quite understand what she meant until later in life. But anyway, I want, as I go through life, I want to enjoy daily activities that is going to improve my life, because we're on this journey of life. And you have here on this plane of earth, you have choice and you have free will. That is what God created you to be. He created you to go for your dreams and your hopes. He just wants your hopes and your dreams grounded in Him so that He can direct your path. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And that is true. That path of life that we're all going for and we're searching for, He wants us to do it with excellence. He wants us to go forward and be all that we can be. But we also have to remember that we are all going to stand before the Lord. I want to talk about some divine facts. The divine facts are, God is real. There is one God. But we know Him in 3 persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we also know Jesus, who came to this earth, who was crucified. He was born of a virgin, number one. Grew up, lived a sinless life. When he was 33 years of age, he was had a trial. They sentenced him to death. A lot of different things that went on that weren't necessarily reasons. Pilate even came out and said, I find nothing to convict this man. But the crowd was there, and they were saying, crucify him, crucify him. It would have been wonderful. I wish, I don't know how many people of you have ever seen the movie that Mel Gibson made about Jesus being crucified. But I remember that movie, and I remember being in the theater. And I remember watching Jesus, the one that I loved, the one that I had prayed to, the one that I knew. And I remember weeping because of the unjustness that they did and the stripes that He took on His back. And then when they nailed him to that cross, the truth of that movie is it had to be, because that should have been me. That penalty of sin that was there was for you and for me. But Christ came, and he came and he took that penalty for us. Praise the Lord. He was killed for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of my peace was on him. And I praise God for that. But that's not the end of the story. 3 days later, hallelujah. It may look like a bad Friday. And it might not look too good on Saturday, but thank God for Sunday morning. They said, God sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus came back from the grave. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he went forward in victory. And then he stayed with his disciples for a few days. And then he was taken up to heaven. And he said, and you can imagine if you were there, you would be looking. And then the angels said, you men of Galilee, why are you looking up? The same Jesus, hallelujah, the same Jesus that has gone up, he will one day come back. And Jesus, before he went up, he said to his disciples, go make disciples of all nations. And that is our job. That's what we're doing. Praise the Lord, 2,000 years later, we're still making disciples and we're still going forth. But as we are talking about the journey of life, the one thing that I have wanted for my life, knowing that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and know that we're going to have to give an account, the one thing that I want to hear the Master say in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, the verse that I wanted to key in on. The king will reply, well, actually, going back to 34, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. I want him to say that to me. I want to walk in. That's my end of my journey. I want to be able to say, well, have him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that is my call out to you. Do what you can to walk with the Lord every day. Talk with the Lord every day. Fellowship with him. And the joy you'll share as you tarry there, none other can compare. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you right now for the encouragement that we have had today. And Lord, I ask right now that you bless each and every person under the sound of my voice. And Lord, if there's one here that may not have made that commitment to you, Father, let them come and just say to you, Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. I need help. Help me. Use my life. Forgive me. And I thank you that you will, because of your promise of your word, come into their heart and you will dwell with them. And so, Father, I ask right now that if there's someone here that has not done that, they will open that door. But, Lord, for those who may have brought you in at an earlier age and then the days and the months and the years have passed and life has happened, and you become less dominant in their lives, I ask that they'll reopen that door, and they'll reopen today and say, Jesus, I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you, and I want to share in that joy. So, Lord, I just pray that you will help us all to walk towards you and draw closer to you and your spirit so that you can one day say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in into the joy of the Lord. Amen. God bless you, and I thank you for this opportunity. And I'm going to turn it over now, and we're going to have our ending. Praise the Lord.
If we now prepare for our offerings and gifts to God, if you
you join me in prayer, please? God of creation and transformation, we come this morning bringing our humble gifts, hoping that we might be made over.
That's okay.
We stand before you, not affirming that we are better than we might be, but rather that we are broken and flawed, and not what we should be. May we open ourselves, who we are and what we have, to you to be transformed to more closely resemble what you desire us to be. We pray these hopes in the name of the one who has promised that we will be redeemed and raised like him. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our final hymn this morning is Marching to Zion, number 7.